everyone. Welcome back to another episode. Today's going to be a lot of fun because we're going to be talking about probably a very wide degree of different subjects, but really about sort of how you can increase the different ways you can reach out and find new people in to bring them into your business. But we're going to be talking how you can find the right community for you, but also more importantly, you know, how to use that community and your own journey. So, you know, look, this will all make sense hopefully by the end of the conversation. But today I have the CEO and founder of the Social Dynamic Selling System, Riley Meek, on the show. Riley, thank you so much for coming on today. I am really excited. I've been following your Instagrams. I've been going through your Twitter. It's going to be a fun day, but I'm really happy to have you here today. Thank you so much for coming out.
Yeah, AJ, happy to be here, man. This will be a great conversation. Looking forward to it.
Good. I'm glad. And yeah, since you're a nice, balmy, you know, northern, you know, America right now, where it seems like it's the south that's cold and the north it's warm, so it's kind of getting to be a fun bit of time. You have so many different things going on. You have social dynamic selling, and I would love to kind of talk about what that means. But you also have your not-for-profit, the King's Council. You have your own podcast, the Sales Conversion Podcast. You're on the Forbes Business Council. I've done Forbes and Inc. So I would love to kind of how you're thinking. You're doing a lot of different things, but at least from what I've been following, I've been very interested in how you seem to do very well in weaving them all together. Where do you see yourself as an entrepreneur these days?
Oh man, where do I see myself? Well, I think entrepreneurship is a, if we look at the root word of it, it's a French word. It's entreprendre. Pardon my French, AJ. All that really means.
I'm American. I speak one language. I have the horror.
Right. All that really means is to undertake, right? So I really believe at the core of it, most human beings, all of us, we're born undertakers, right? If we really think about this. But I think culture and society today, especially today, does a great job at teaching that out of us, or dare I say, indoctrinating that out of us. And so as an entrepreneur, where am I at today? Like I'm in the midst of this undertaking, right? This task at hand. Now it's numerous tasks, and me as an entrepreneur 10 years ago, even 15, 20 years ago, I jokingly say I gave my life to entrepreneurship at the age of 15. I'm 38 now. It's like there's been different journeys over the last, you know, 23 years, I guess. But I'm still in the midst of this bad boy, undertaking it, and I will be until the day that God calls me home, because it's just too much fun. It's so fun to just to build things for the benefit of others and then get rewarded for it, right? That's the beauty of this entrepreneurship journey that we're actually all on.
Yeah, I cannot agree more. I mean, I'm constantly talking to my team, and yeah, the magic is in the definition thereof, but it's like, look, our main focus is we create more value for the people we serve. And then we figure out if we do a good job there, then we figure out how to extract some of that for ourselves. That's the game.
Yes.
Yeah. There's lots of little steps, and there's words, and there's like opens and software we use at all different levels, but create value, extract some of it. Let's talk a little bit, just because I am curious about this structure, because it's something that reminds me almost of like things I heard about out of the 70s, but from what I've been able to look at in the social dynamic sciences, you're approaching it in a much more sophisticated way. And I don't want to put words, and I don't want to kind of miscalculate. So would you kind of just walk through like, what is the social, and then let's kind of talk about how other entrepreneurs could look at stuff like this.
Yeah. At the core of it, the social dynamic selling system, often people just equate that to like, oh, you do social media. And that's not the case at all. Actually, couldn't even be further.
You do it well. I've seen some of it.
Here's the thing about good entrepreneurs, that they delegate appropriately, right? So I barely am even on it, but I know I've got to be at certain times to film certain things and create certain content, and then I let the experts do what they're best at. But the social dynamic selling system was created really out of me kind of back against the wall, being freaking broke as a joke in the sales world, had made a decent amount of money, you know, as a young entrepreneur. I hit my first six figures at the age of 18 and, you know, thought I was really something. I was just a naive kid, right? went through just that sales journey. I loved the idea of sales, right? And I always loved the concept that I can earn what I'm worth. One thing I heard a lot of, AJ, was your earning ability is uncapped if like you're in sales. And I kind of equated that at that time with entrepreneurship, but I never fully bought into it because at the time I was selling things, my income was really based upon the amount of time in a day. Right. And I could sell something.
Yeah.
I gradually, increased my commission level or the profit margin based upon the higher the ticket item that I was selling. But I was still like, wait a minute, all of my ability, my earning ability is based upon my efforts and the amount of time in a day. And I came off a failed business venture. I was down in Mexico. I lived down there for 5 months. And we kind of got shut down by the government. And I found myself on a flight back here to the States. And I was, actually even homeless at the time. It's kind of, I leased out my condo. So I came back and I found myself living on my sister's couch. And I was just on a journey of like, all right, God, what is next for me? Because I didn't know. I was only 24 at the time. But it was just, I felt like it was like my midlife crisis. And I came across this ad. It said, work 3 days a week, make 10,000 bucks. And of course I was like, yeah, right. Right. This is 2005, something like that. And,
just as it was kind of coming back, I know that period quite well.
and through that process, ultimately I was introduced to this kind of concept of one to many and because everything that I had done was like one-on-one, I could take somebody from a high-end Riley to closing a deal and dependent upon the length of that sales process, it could be timely. And this concept, it blew my mind. It was like literally inventing fire in front of me because I saw this guy. He invited me to a presentation. He delivered a presentation to like 24 people. Out of that presentation, he simply asked for an appointment. And seven of them gave him the time of day. The very next day, he met with him and then he ended up closing a handful of those. And I was like, oh my gosh, if this guy could do that, like I'm going to get rich doing this thing. Because what I loved, we hear all the time now, these ideas of just online funnels, right? And top of the funnel and bringing them through your sales process. And
ClickFunnel world. Yeah,
you bet. I know. And this was really, to me, because ClickFunnels wasn't a thing at that point in time. But to me, I was like, this is an offline funnel, right? Because we invited a certain amount of people out and a certain amount of them showed up, a certain amount of them listened and gave an appointment, a certain amount of them met one-on-one, and a certain amount of them closed. And it was really like I said, inventing fire to me at the time, because it was like, holy cow, this is it. This is how I can take my skill set with sales, but I can speak to many at one time. And then I'm sifting the sand and I'm only meeting with those that actually want at least to know what the price is or a proposal of some sort. Then I really looked into it and I'm like, yeah, this has been around for quite some time. It's not like I invented this at all. Yeah. Frankly, I was mad. Right. Yeah. I was mad that I didn't think of this prior to this at all. And what I did though, is like, all right, how do I fix and refine this process? How do I really streamline this thing? And so I took some of his concepts of the things he was selling, added a few of my own and kind of made some bundled package and did my first presentation, man. I had $673 in my bank account, but I had a credit card. And the biggest thing was I had that burning desire for more. And it was like, how do we make this thing work? And so I stumbled into a few sales and I kept reinvesting that money then. I didn't go buy a new car or, buy my lease out or anything like that. It was like, I'm just going to continue to sleep on my sister's couch. And for 6 months, I just kept reinvesting and reinvesting. I looked up the end of that year, we had done $2.1 million in sales. And I was like, all right, this thing works. Yeah. And from there, it was now I'm going to start recruiting and teaching people this process, learned a ton through that next year. By the end of that following year, we had done 12 million. I had 26 sales crews across 38 states. And it was a system that we really put in place at that point in time. And then it was really the realization that it was the system. The product was really irrelevant. And that's then allowed us to, I've started eight of our own companies in this system. Every single one of them, we've hit seven, a couple of them, eight figures within the first 10 months of each. And we've done, a quarter of $1 billion over the last 12 years utilizing this system.
Well, let's talk about, this type of thing, because I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, the folks listening here on the podcast, we have a lot of, they're looking at it. And I think where I started getting interested, but I wanted to really leave this in your hands. You don't just kind of, I think a lot of people think of this approach as being like the coach mastermind direction or my course. Let's kind of talk about how the different types of businesses that can be used in it, and then maybe some businesses that you wouldn't think this would be useful that it can be. So just the listeners can start putting themselves in the process of thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought this up, AJ, because this system is unique, right? It isn't for everybody because our primary source of marketing is still direct mail. To this day, I do hundreds of thousands of direct mail pieces every single week, actually. And so it's from that standpoint, we're sending these invitations out. We're bringing people to a restaurant. We're feeding, them a dinner typically. Yeah. And so there's money that's involved with this, right? And so we need to have a high enough product or price point that can afford this market.
Yeah, lifetime value out of this.
Exactly. So if you're selling a $48 widget and there's no additional lifetime value to your customer.
There's a French fry.
Right. This is not the system for you, right? Go figure out ClickFunnels or something like that. But if you are specifically direct to consumer, so if you're in the home services industry, like the thing that I started out selling was insulation, which is not sexy. Get this, AJ. The funny thing is, man, I still to this day don't even know what R value stands for. And I refuse. So don't even say it, man. I refuse to learn because it takes the fun away from this story. But I sold millions of dollars to homeowners, helping them to reduce savings on their utility bills. We did LED lighting.
Yeah.
We did solar attic ventilators. And so it was like just figuring out what do people want? Right? Because a lot of people are looking for finding a need in the marketplace, which is great, but people don't buy what they need. They buy what they want. So how do we make this thing sexy enough to want this? And how do we craft a story around this that people will understand and buy into, take them on an emotional journey to ultimately make a decision? Whether the decision's yes or no, that's fine, right? Because I'm not here to pressure people into anything that they don't want or need.
Yeah.
But if I can create an environment where all of a sudden they have the understanding and realization, this makes sense. We should get this or we should do this. That's an ideal a product or offering. Is direct to consumer. Home services work great. It's typically not an at need product. And what I mean by that, AJ, is let's take a roof, for example. People don't like shop for roofs when they think they're like going to go buy a roof.
You need it tomorrow.
Right. It's like, oh crap, hail came in and we're going to get this thing replaced. Right. Same with like a furnace. People aren't like pre-forecasting like, oh, we should really replace the furnace. It's like, no, the dang thing goes out and then we replace it. Right. And so
if we can not be in winter, please.
Exactly right. Yes. If we can create something like we're extremely successful in the solar industry right now, right? Where it's like, okay, it's high ticket, it's direct to consumer, anything along those lines.
News awareness.
You got it.
Exactly.
You got it. We work a lot with doctors, the regenerative medicine space, helping them acquire patients, right? So at the core of what we are, we aren't branders. We're not like putting billboards up. We are, or I equate it to this in the marketing world, there's farmers and they're hunters, right? We don't farm, we hunt. So if you throw a dart at a map and I can find a restaurant or a location in that town or that city, I can pull a list demographically of people that fit your demographic. Like who buys your stuff?
Your avatar.
Avatar. Yes. We're going to directly market to them to come to the event. We help then our clients, craft this presentation to create that sense of urgency to ultimately help them, make a buying decision. So when I say hunting, we find our prey. We seek it out. We find it. We shoot it. We clean it. We cook it. We eat it. And then we move on to the next territory versus planting seeds. One's not better than the other. I just prefer hunting over farming each and every day because it's something that's controllable. Yeah. We coin our system. It is a sustainable, a predictable, and a scalable sales system that we have control over that I can turn up or I can turn down at any point in time based upon the volume that I can actually afford to take on.
The mailings you put in. That extra kind of step of like, yeah, if you have a home service, like one thing's even the heating and cooling, the rise of subscription packages for a lot of these, because, I moved the lovely fun of moving from another country and buying a house remotely. Like, oh yeah, this thing is old and needs 20,000 things. I mean, as long as you can model out a value prop, direct mail, while not super expensive, thing is work. It's that event, the thing, the planning, your consulting. What's a typical size of like an event? Is it like 30, 50 people coming to something?
Yeah.
Or does it depend on what's being offered?
It depends on what's being offered, most definitely. But I would say, I will tell you, when I call an event, I typically include that within what we call a seminar series. And so, for example, if I'm sending an invitation out, now I want that to hit at a specific time frame before the event. If it hits the day before the event, people don't have time to respond to it. So we usually are marking 10 to 14 days in advance. They're getting this and they have the time to respond either through our 800 number or online. But we have multiple times available, right? So again, this is going to be dependent upon the avatar that we're targeting. When are they available? Do they still work? So we need to do this after hours, right? Or is it an older demographic where we can do like an early afternoon event? But I typically like to have at least three options on that they can choose from based upon what works for them. Like our job is not to make our lives easy. Our job is to remove as much limbic friction as possible for the customer, right? Or the prospect. And so we give them a few options. So typically with a lot of direct mail, I mean, we're always shooting for like a 1.5% response rate is phenomenal, right?
So pretty good. Yeah.
For simple math, if I send 10,000 pieces, I get 100 responses. Oftentimes it's husband and wife, not always the case. So that may be 150 people that are going to show up over 3 to 4 days,
three
time slots that I have. So I'm typically presenting to 20 to 40 people, give or take at any given time. And truthfully, my favorite number, AJ, is like 20 to 22 people, just because I feel like it's still intimate enough
intimate.
To connect with them,
take
them on that journey. So by the end of it, they know me, they like me, they trust me. I've now earned the right to ask for a one-on-one appointment to ultimately then close the sale at that point in time. I want to be crystal clear. Our system is not rah, 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 rush to the back of the room and make a decision you regret. It is make a wise decision to meet with us, right? And then when we meet, now we can actually do a needs analysis or whatever it is that they're looking for to actually close the sale.
Maybe not a super high consideration set, but it is more to that moderate high consideration thought process. No. The multiple research points, things, and you're basically moving geeked out and mapped out in my past life as a data scientist, mapping out the touch points into that consideration point. That familiarity, that sort of brand comfort comes later into the cycle. So you, by kind of attaching that experience with that top of the funnel thing, you're kind of jumping past a little bit of that middle nurturing ground, or at least increasing the likelihood of moving it through. And it's cool. And I like that it is so broad, because it's like, in looking at a lot of the rise of franchise and looking at franchises, I mean, that's an amazing consideration set. All right, this is really pretty cool. And doing that, what's the process in sort of working and understanding? But you got the confidence, you got the smoothness going on. How do you make this so it works for the entrepreneurs curious about doing this with you? Doing it for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing with this is, depending upon the level of engagement, we consult with people. I've written a book on this. It's called Food for Thought. Literally teach you everything that need to know to actually go do your own. Right now, if you're needing additional help, I have a course for it as well. Right, it's gonna walk you through a little bit more hand holding process. But majority of the people, truthfully, I've had people go through that, and I've gotten emails of like, just held my first event. The most recent one was 63 people showed up. I did $48,000 in closed business that week. It's like, all right, well, amazing. Like that to me, that's like, that's life changing stuff for them. And it warms my heart, even though, you know, what I make $4 off the book, right? It's wonderful, right? It's helping them fulfill, you know, their destiny, you know, for their family. But a lot of people come to us and they're like, I don't know what I don't know. Right. And as an entrepreneur, it's like, we either figure it out. We either have time or we have money. And if you got time, by all means, go figure it out. Yep. But if you got a little bit of money to invest into this, I offer a strategy call initially free of charge. I'll hop on with anybody for 30 minutes and just walk through, what is your product? What is your service? Are the price points there, or can we adjust them? Can we bundle things, right? For example, a mattress company, price points weren't quite there, but could we now bundle this with a relaxation massage chair? And now we've hit the margin that we need to actually make this thing work. So it's a matter of just like getting creative, which is, that's the fun process of entrepreneurship, right? Like, how do we get creative and create something that people want? And then from there, it's usually a strategy day that myself or someone on our team will really peel back the onion on this thing and start to lay out the marketing piece. Like, what's the messaging that we need to speak to our avatar? We start to run demographics. We figure out geographically, where are we going to market to? Are we limited by location, or is this something that can be nationwide? And we really start to peel back the onion and lay out a playbook, we call it. Not a business plan. Business plans are great if you're looking to raise capital or something like that, but we truly craft out your business playbook. Like, this is what has to happen on this deadline, this deadline, this deadline. And as long as you follow SOPs, those steps,
this process,
exactly. Yeah. As long as you follow those steps, we know there's only one variable really at that point, and it's going to be the one that's presenting. And the exciting thing about this, AJ, is, man, my sophomore year of high school, I basically failed speech class. Like, standing up in front of people, I would quiver. Like, I'd have my note cards, and it was a train wreck, man. And what I can say is that this is a learned skill set. Okay. Now, some people have charisma. Some people they command that room. They have that energy about them, which is amazing. Right. But I didn't have that. Like, this is something that I had to learn and really hone in and craft. It started at an early age. I started to really figure this thing out. Speaking to groups is much different than speaking one-on-one. Right. And why we called it the social dynamic selling system is because there is a social dynamic that takes place, right? You think about any setting that you're in within a group of people, even if you just go out to the restaurant, there's this dynamic that's taking place in that setting. There's other patrons maybe sitting up at the bar. There's the bartender, there's your server, there's the people in the booth behind you. There's a dynamic that's taking place. And there's the ability to understand that and to use, I'm going to call it just skill sets or tactics. Again, learn tactics on how to get people to take action, how to move them in your favor, how to win people over utilizing this social dynamic selling system. And so that's kind of a higher level type of training that we go through on the sales side of it. But big answer, I guess, but to narrow it down, it depends on the level of engagement that person needs, right? Is it just, hey, yeah, teach me? Is it, hey, teach me and fill the room? Is it fill the room, teach me the presentation? Is it done for you? Like, we even have programs like that where we handle you literally run the everything. You just collect the patient or the product, or excuse me, the client. I say patient because we do that for a lot of doctors. Like, doctors just want to treat patients. They don't want to understand marketing. They don't even like that stuff. So for that though, we take a heavy chunk of that, because we're the ones that are spending all the time, energy, and effort to acquire the patient. So we do it all, but it's really just dependent upon the level of engagement that would be required for that particular business owner.
Okay, let's talk about some of the tactical structure of this. And I know everyone's price points are different, locations. Yeah, you're doing this down in Palm Beach versus doing it in the middle of Arkansas. Yeah, your event space is going to be factors differently.
Yep.
But generally, what is the cost? Let's first focus just on the event structure, and then we can general. We don't have to specifically talk about your services at the different levels, but let's talk. Like, okay, the direct mail piece, yeah. Let's say if you're going to do three events and you want to target about 20, 25, so it's about 60 to 75 people. What's that direct mail piece going to cost? And you were saying 1.5. I can do the reverse math, except I'm no longer 18. If I don't pull the calculator out in the middle. So what's that going to cost about for someone to get, in a location to get about those 75 people, that direct mail piece, just starting there?
Yeah. So again, this is a lot of factors. I'm going to do my best to answer this.
We
have a terrible offer. Like, and let's say, my target, my avatar is left-handed blonde haired people with peg legs. Okay. That's going to be hard. Right. So
I understand. I am putting you on the spot. Yeah. Don't worry. Let's just
give a range
just from
here.
The mindset
from any, the more factors we layer on here, for example, like a financial advisor, we fill events for lots of advisors, right? We have our own insurance agency.
Yeah.
Now those demographically, that list that we pull, it's a little bit more expensive than just a generic every door direct mail, right? Because I'm layering on like, okay, they have
business
$3 million in IPA, right? Like income producing assets and things like that. And every time we add those things on, it increases cost. So across the board though, I'm going to say
smaller audience, more segmentation.
You got it. Yep. A seminar series though could be anywhere from like $4,000 to $10,000. Well, it's a huge range, but this is where I say, if you have a $48 widget, this isn't for you. If you can profit, a couple grand, a few grand per sale, we might be able to make this thing work. Right? Because if I know, here's my sweet spot on this, AJ, is a 300% ROI. Okay. If I know that I can invest.
ROAS. Yeah.
Yes, you got it. So if I know that I can invest 10 grand into marketing, if I can make that 30 grand, I'm doing this thing all day long. Over the long period that we've done this, why I've fallen in that number is I've realized that if I'm a little bit higher than that, or even a little bit lower than that, either I'm not spending enough on marketing, right? Or let me change my language, investing enough, or I'm doing too much, right? And I don't have enough fulfillment to actually nurture or take care of those potential clients. And so that 300%, man, is like a prime number for us. Now, we've blown that out of the water before. And so then it's like, all right, well, I'm going to just spend more. Because my concept with this, when I talk about a sustainable, predictable, and scalable selling system, is if I go to the casino and I know that every three quarters that I put in there, I'm going to get a dollar back, why would I ever stop putting quarters in? And this is what a lot of marketers do, right? They like, oh no, the recession or things are tightening up. Like, this thing's recession proof, baby. I've been doing this for 13 years. I made more money when things were in the tank because I was the one. Actually, in 2020, dude, this is crazy. So we do dinner seminars in restaurants, which means we gather groups of people in restaurants that were completely shut down. So March of 2020 would be, you know, light of me saying devastating for us. I was in Scottsdale. I was in Scottsdale, Arizona, supposedly on a vacation with my wife. And there's rumors of this over the weekend. My team is calling me going, hey, man, there's talk about like restaurants closing down. I'm like, what? No chance. Like that can't happen. We live in America, right? Like that's not happening. And I got that news on Monday morning and I was like, what am I going to do here? This thing is, I had over 111 events that week we had to cancel. I had over $300,000 in money out, like sent mail that it was
prepaid,
out the door.
Deposit.
And it was like, now I can't even, what am I going to do here? So like every other entrepreneur, good entrepreneur, I will say, is we pivot, right? Like, okay, head on a swivel.
Virtual.
Wayne Gretzky skated to where the puck was going to be. That's why he was the greatest hockey player, right? And so if that's my mind, because every product that I've ever sold, AJ, I've never been like, this is my passion. I just love this so much. I don't really care. Morally and ethically,
like
it has
structure.
To be a good product, right? Am I providing value to somebody else? If that's the case, can I create a want? And then from there, like, all right, is there margin? Can we make money in this thing? And if that's the case, then let's freaking go. This is why I have a walk-in bathtub company. Bro, I don't give a rip about walk-in bathtubs. Like, I love the people that need them, but it's hard to get excited about that. But it gets exciting when we can create enough revenue that affords me the ability to actually go do what I love to do.
Oh, funny. I remember doing that for my grandmother, getting their walk-in.
Yeah.
Okay. But, okay, you and I are similar. I like the concept of figuring out how to create value for businesses because – yeah, I don't care any specific business. I just like the puzzle. You know, to me, it's that puzzle of figuring it out. I like that approach in this. Okay. But that is a really cool, you know, concept and looking. I mean, yes, it lends itself. You guys, you know, I went crazy during 2000. To me, my point was 2008, where I got very lucky. I acquired, you know, from my little SEO and paid search, we acquired a media buying firm that could do all sorts of crazy things. And it was sort of like our secret weapon was just like, look, we went out and found clients that if we got them more business, they would, you know, performance basically would pay. And we'd be like, look, if we find a way to do this, can we turn the jets on? And it was like, sure. Yeah. I think, you know, one or two clients that were like, this is too much business. I was like, okay, well, this is, that's, I think you have the wrong problem if this is the case. But yeah, it is. You find, look, channels, scaling, you know, it depends. Understanding where something like this fits within the scale of your business, you know, and it could fit within different structures and different levels of sizes. Obviously, you know, there's not an infinite tap per, but there is an ongoing capability in multiple business concepts. Sorry, you have me geeking out, and I know I'm supposed to be interviewing you on your journey and stuff, but right now I'm geeking out on how to, just from some of the people I know, some of the things I'm looking at, I'm like, okay, how would this fit in? Where would, okay, and how much would a brand structure kind of fit in, kind of talking. Oh, wait, I know, I saw that. Oh, wait, yeah, he's a nice guy. Look at that TikTok he does. I think this is cool what you're doing. And I like that because it does, yes, the sell part, yeah, that actual presentation part, I think for some people is going to be hard because we are very conditioned on the one-on-one. Yeah, I always joke, my main skill from the business side is that cross-sell, upsell, that farming side. But with whale hunting, yeah, I combine it like day-to-day sales. Yeah, you get me someone in, I'll find a gazillion ways to make them happy, understand that they can do it. But then let's go find Moby Dick out there and go bring him in. But I like this because there's a structure, the direct mail. And do you own the direct mail capability or is that something you partner with?
Oh, yeah, we own the whole process. And so...
That's super smart. in this day and age.
That was something that I didn't realize is so important to this. Because a lot of people, when I started out, I was naive and I'm like, well, yeah, you just send direct mail. Like, it's not that simple from a timing standpoint, right? The one variable in this is the most unreliable thing in America, and that is our government-ran companies, right? The United States Postal Service is a train wreck.
It's a great, great gift. At the same time, it's just like, oh my God.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And so we control, I'm a firm believer, you control the controllables, right? You don't have any right to complain about what you tolerate in your life or in your business. If you're tolerating it, you're the problem. And so, you know, mail not hitting at appropriate times, then it was like something that was infuriating for me when it's like, listen, I'm spending money. And if it's not hitting when it was supposed to be hitting, it's the opportunity cost, not even the cost of the mail. It's the opportunity cost that I lost on this, because if I can go make 50 grand a week and you just took that away from me. So it was infuriating. So we had to bring that in. And it's like, all right, let's control this thing. Cause if I'm going to sell anything or to provide consulting services to anybody, I need to be putting out the best product and service possible. So we had to bring that in house.
I hate the term the VA wave, but yeah, I always call it the business mullet. Americans for face and global talent in back, for back office. But like, I've seen some really interesting, or I've had some discussions with people around call centers. English as a second language is growing globally, especially throughout Central America. And, you know, you can put up a center in a lot of Central and Mexico, Central America, even parts of South America. And you're talking to someone who's going to sound just like they're from down the street.
Yep.
Their English is so amazing. And with the increase of bandwidth and yada, yada, and, you know, Elon Musk giving us the nice little satellites, it is cutting this cost down to the point where, and I know this isn't your model, but like, are you looking at call centers to kind of also add in to maybe bring this in? Because I could just see, you know, how globalizing your talent could just make this all the, you're localizing an offer.
So we do have an inbound. So when people RSVP, we handle all of those.
You have your own call support. Okay. Yeah.
We've never done outbound for that. I've done it for other business ventures, but it's not something that we've taken on in this sphere yet, just because number one, I would always test it first myself. I never make suggestions to anybody, even on the consulting side, but even the coaching side of things. Like, I'm never going to be like, oh, you should look at this or do this. It's like, I'm going to test it first and make sure it works well before I would ever make any recommendations on that. But certainly I think it probably could be done, but then the thing that we always take into consideration, AJ, is the type of person that we're attracting, right? You're going to always catch the fish based upon the lure that you're using, right? So even you're hunting for whale, but you're also chumming the water. So you've got the nets that's picking up the starfish and the marlin and but then all of a sudden there's a whale, like, beautiful. That makes great sense. For our standpoint, the reason I love direct mail, because I've done a ton of online marketing as well, and it's a different person that responds. And I love having this conversation with people that think direct mail is like archaic, or it's dead. People don't check mail anymore. I'm so happy that you think that way, because that means there's less clutter in the mailbox for me. There, you got all the direct
mail. I literally owning a home. This is because the Google's, sometimes searching for people, I end up with lead gen sources or basically private equity owned companies that are crap. So direct mail ends up being a lot of how I choose my service. So, I took you off.
But it is the type of person that responds, the type of person that I'm the highest return on results. How about that? Right? Because even from a return on ad spend, it's like, okay, I sent an ad and I got 100 people, but out of how many of those 100 actually bought? Because remember, the person that's even online or scrolling on Facebook, they see something like, oh, cool. They click it. There was no like commitment to them versus picking up the phone, making an RSVP, taking that piece, putting it on your refrigerator. Like, it's forward facing. It's front of mind. And it's people that make a decision like that, because most people are checking their mail over their garbage can. And so can I catch their eye, get them attracted to make a decision quickly? That's part of our model, again, to attract the right person so that the likelihood of us when we meet them, we're not spinning our wheels or wasting any more time. And again, that's just why we like the direct mail concept best of, and I've tried everything, man, literally everything.
I'm glad you have. Looking at this, it's just sort of like, all right, pulling it in, figuring out this, you know, and still I have avoided, and I know this will be something for a lot of people, because I do think a lot of, especially business owners, we get good at that one-to-one sale. I've done presentations, I've done the speaker circuit back in my last company, and I realized, okay, too much of that's ego. You're doing is not the ego, you know, like speaker circuit. You have the process, you have this. The way to look about it from this is really just, you have the inherent offer. Is there something where there is the location structure that enough blonde, left-handed, peg-legged people in the location that you're trying to target? So if you can kind of do those two, I think the discovery process for those of you in the audience is worth exploring. Yeah, we didn't even go anywhere close to some of the other things, the fascinating things you're doing and the way you're approaching community and stuff like that. So selling is so important. This is, I approach a lot of things at looking at, do you have the correct foundational structure in place to be able to handle things like this? My approach is always like, look, you have your goals, your vision. Can you measure things? Can you understand? Do you look at your data in a way that helps you learn from what has happened? And what's really cool is if someone has that structure in place, slotting in something like that, and they fit and they have that type of footprint, both from a local business, there are multiple ways this type of execution can work if you have the right structure to push it into. No, I think this is really cool. I've been impressed in a lot of what I've seen about King's Council and, you know, how much you bring in your religion into this, but also as a support system for people. And I would love to go, but like, how do you go about defining what success is going to be for yourself as an entrepreneur, not for the selling system, not for the king, but for yourself as an entrepreneur? How do you go about making sure that you are understanding what success is?
Yeah. So early on, my definition of success was, I want to do what I want, when I want, where I want, with who I want, how I want, right? Freedom, because everybody wants that. And then it's like, well, how do I get freedom? We live in America, right? So I got to make money. Like this
America, this, freedom.
No matter what any religious mindsets might say, money is, it's a great tool, right? And it is a, it's something that I think Zig Ziglar says it best. It's like, it ain't everything, but it's right up there next to oxygen. And so it's what greases the wheel. It's what continues to keep things moving. And that was my motivation for many, many years. But man, I tell you, I realized you can be incredibly successful at a lot of things and still feel like a failure if you're not operating for the God-given intended purpose of why you were created. And AJ, I've experienced what the world would call success many times, right? Until 4 years ago, I'm just sitting in my basement, just kind of going, oh my gosh, is this what life is about? Like, is this really it? It's just to build business and nothing wrong with that. Like that's what gets us going as entrepreneurs, like that's our gifting and our skill set. Therefore we should do it in excellence, like in everything that we do. But it was just this feeling inside of me, like, God, there's gotta be something more. Right. And I equate it to, you know, you can be successful at a lot of things, still feel like a failure. For example, I have a treadmill in my home gym here that is incredibly successful at hanging my clothes. Super successful at it, right?
Yeah.
But the manufacturer is looking at that treadmill going, that thing is a failure, right? It's not operating for why I made it. And as humans, we have a manufacturer, right? We have a creator that has designed each and every one of us for a purpose. And our job is to really determine what that purpose actually is, right? Corporately being, I'm a Christian, right? A follower of Jesus. So I know, like in reading the Bible, I know what, like corporately my job is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the freaking hard part. is loving our neighbor. But
once I've above all else,
right? Once I've got an understanding of that, it's like, how do I do that well? And in an entrepreneurship journey, how do we love our neighbor? Like, we provide excellence. We provide the greatest product, the greatest service in the world, the highest value that we can possibly have, and they're going to reward us for that, right? And that is a loving relationship. But what really got me is I was a part of a number of different masterminds, a lot of different ones, and they were very valuable for me at the time. But as I matured and I started just to look at the community of people that I found myself around, realized that, man, this wasn't the life that I wanted, right? Because a lot of those masterminds, if we can be honest, most of them are circle jerks. And it's like, I don't need that anymore in my life, right? I want
just selling opportunities. Yeah.
Yes. I want like divine relationship. I want connection. I want community. And that's really out of that feeling of just unfulfillment and understanding what my definition of real success is now, AJ, is not what did I do in comparison to what anybody else did, right? In the world that we live in now, that's what most people are looking at, right? It's like they're on social media. They're seeing all this, fake crap because it ain't real. Nobody putting like negative stuff up on their social media. It's like, oh, here I am doing all these wonderful things. Here's my jet it's not even mine. It's just like, it's ridiculous. And I wanted like real relationships. So success to me is not what I did compared to anybody else. Success is, did I do what I know God called me to do? Whatever that situation is and that time and that purpose. It could be, this is a daily thing that I take on. All right, God, what are you calling me to do today? Right. And then when I lay my head at night, then I can determine, was that successful? If not, I really truly don't believe in failure anymore. As long as we're continuing to get back up, right? There's no such thing as failure. Mm-hmm. It's only feedback. And every night when I lay my head down, I'm replaying, was I successful in this day? Did I do what I know God purposed me to do on this earth? If not, all right, that's feedback. I'm going to recalibrate and I'm going to get up and I'm going to get after it again tomorrow. That's success. And from there, though, I knew that I can't do this thing alone, right? If you want to go, as an entrepreneur, if you want to go fast, it's easy to go alone. But if you want to go far, the only way you go far in this journey is to go together, right? I've heard this said, it's only lonely at the top if you don't bring people with you, right? So that was the birthing of the King's Council, which at the core of it, it's my passion project. It's our ministry. I don't make a dime off of this thing, but it is a community in which we disciple entrepreneurs. That's what we do. It's like, hey, how do we do this thing of entrepreneurship? But I know the only way that we can do that well is if we're healthy mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually as well. And then there's the financial component, which kind of flows into the entrepreneurship side. But we talk about these five pillars of how we operate at a high level continually. And that ain't easy. Right. We tend to run our businesses this way in these different divisions where we have marketing, we have sales, we have, maybe HR, we have the fulfillment side. And if one of those areas actually struggles or is declining, the whole company struggles. Right. If sales is struggling because, maybe the leads suck. Right. That's what they'll always tell you. Right. But marketing is saying, no, they're providing leads, but sales suck. Right. And it's just like it's a continual struggle. If there's any department that's struggling, our lives are no different. So how are we mentally? How are we emotionally, physically, spiritually? And if those are dialed in, I know I can bring this financial ring up. Right. But if I'm only operating because I'm crushing the business, crushing financially, this is where I was, man, the 9 figures in revenue. But I was a freaking train wreck inside. And it wasn't until the revelation of like, all right, how do we operate this thing? How do I live a life by design versus by default? And that was really just in the last 4 years now, in which the birthing of the King's Council, which is really just a community of like-mindsetted people, mindsetted, it's not a real word, but I believe we are the growth.
Hey, we'll make it mindsetted.
Yes.
I actually like that.
The idea is that, dude, if I'm only around people that think like me, I'm no longer challenging myself, right? We know that iron sharpens iron. And so the only like preface that I want people around me is, are you growth mindsetted? Like we are either growing or we are dying. And there is no such thing. People say I've hit a plateau or I'm just like feel stagnant. No, you're dying, bro. You are dying slowly. Yeah. And this is where we can grab each other's arms, lean on each other, and be growth-minded in every aspect of our life. And if we did that, if we truly did that until the day we died, dude, there's incredible things that could be accomplished with that mindset. But most people are limited in their thinking. They're limited in their community, which ultimately is limiting their destiny for them. And that's really what the King's Council is about, is unlocking that destiny so that we can go farther together.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I've gone through so many of the groups you've talked about, the masterminds, and you know, the amount of times the glorified 4-hour work week wannabes who haven't even really read the book.
Right.
Yeah, because it's like, Tim Ferriss really had something really brilliant. You kind of going and doing this is not really that. Yeah. But finding, and I have only a couple I truly like, and I've talked with a couple of other entrepreneurs that I'm very curious, like yours are, but like, yeah, there are very few out there that really bring the game. And it is about finding the like-minded people pushing, because yeah, this journey, yeah, I think I joked with you before, I'm going through due diligence on an acquisition, and my life right now is like, yeah, we just cleared up some stuff. The company, this deal is going to go through. And then literally 15 minutes afterwards, the same guy who just told me everything was good sends me a list of like, here's all the things we're worried about. And I'm like, oh my God, we're never going to get out of this. And then, okay, we walk through. But that's the journey of being an entrepreneur. And that's what's so cool. And, you know, just the way you've kind of brought that focus from sales, from one to many, and kind of then expanded into it, I think is great. We're going to have a, you and I are going to have a talk, just because I am so many questions. But then let's find a way to bring you back and maybe walk through a little more specifically on this, because yes, I jumped us all over the place. I was geeking out, but let's treat it a little bit more structured in something, just because I think a lot of people can learn from your approach in doing this. And I think that sort of pivot around how to include something like this and the multiple steps you use to approach that is really worthwhile. Because like, yes, I don't want to use some, I jokingly call it the ClickFunnels world. But there is some really good things they have out of that. And, you know, your approach to looking at that lifetime value, but that offer stacking, you know, from lack of a, you know, looking at ways that things can kind of fit within the metric structure of like, okay, it's 4 to 10K plus time, plus this, plus consulting. And yeah, so it's like, you got to figure it out. You can, here's another approach that I think looks really promising. All right, back to the point. How can people, you have a great, I know you have a great Instagram, your Twitter is really active. Yeah, you're on LinkedIn. What's the best way that people can learn more about you, learn about the Social Dynamic Selling System, about the King's Council?
Yeah.
How should they go about doing this?
Yeah, I mean, certainly socialdynamicselling.com if they want to know more about our dinner seminar marketing and sales system. Joinkingscouncil.com. It's free to join. It's, we're launching an app here this coming week, which is great.
Yeah, cool.
Great community just amongst, again, like-mindsetted people, a great place to network. And, it's faith-based. You don't have to believe in Jesus, but you're going to learn a lot about it.
You're a lot.
We would love you to be a part of this and maybe even question why we think the way we think, because, you know, I think it's an incredible thing that I got to go through, over the number of years, which being a train wreck. And like, now, how is it that God has allowed me to grow through so many different things? And so, just invite anybody. I mean, at the core of it, we dive into entrepreneurship. Like, we're here to make money, like no question about it, but that stewardship of it, was the biggest thing for me. Like, now there's a different reason of why I know that I'm called to go make hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in those that are attracted to this community as well. So in the podcast, the podcast that we're really focused on now is the King's Council podcast. I've been at this now for, you mentioned a sales conversion. I started that about 5-6 years ago. But about 3 years ago, we really pivoted, and it's now the King's Council podcast, which we talk all things entrepreneurship, but also then how it relates back to the Bible. That's kind of, again, my passion project. So, and every other social media platform people can find us too.
All right, cool. We'll make sure that all that is in the show notes that we blasted on to the socials when this episode comes. And I always realize as I'm saying it, it's like, okay, you've already seen this, and you've gotten the newsletter when the episode comes, but yes, this will all be in the newsletter and also the book. We're going to, we'll link to Amazon, I take it.
Yep.
Done. All right. We'll also make sure the book is there. Anyway, I like having those little Amazon associate credits. I use the credits to buy, let's just say, geek toys.
Yes.
Those are my geek toy things. All right.
Right on.
Ryan, thank you so much. I think this is really cool, your approach to doing this, and obviously your enthusiasm and the amount of time you've put, this comes across like, oh wow, but this has been a long journey to get to be able to build something so interesting. Thank you for kind of coming on and discussing it, because I think a lot of us want to build things that are really worthwhile for the not just for the test of time, but for the thing that creates so much value. That's our struggle is to create more value, but it takes time and effort.
Yeah.
And hearing your journey and hearing your discussion of how you got there really, I think, helps other entrepreneurs, because it's like, look, you put the time in, there's no guarantee you get there, but the more time you put in, the more you work on the journey, and that work on the journey sucks. There's just no other way of saying it. But the more you do, the higher the likelihood of creating something as cool as you're doing right now. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, AJ.
Hey, everyone. I really geeked out today. So yes, I took us all over the place. I think there's a real value in something like this within the right business model, the right structure. Obviously, you have to have your P's and Q's lined up. Is that even the right phrase? Whatever. Wrong metaphor, but whatever. Take a look into this if you have what you think something could be. Yeah. Check out his book, go reach out to him, and reach out to Riley and set up that call just to kind of do some discovery on yourself. But if this fits within what you're thinking about, this could be a really impactful addition to your own business. So hey, if you enjoyed today, share this with another entrepreneur who could learn more from what Riley's talking about, and tell them to subscribe on their podcast listening platform of choice. Follow us on YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. Look, the more people who can follow us, the cooler entrepreneurs we get to talk to like Riley. So please tell a friend. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Can't wait to talk to you again. Bye-bye.